Welcome to the MissouriNet Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe, and I am here with news director Bob Pretty, managing editor Brent Martin, and anchor reporter Steve Walsh. And we're going to talk a little bit about a behind-the-scenes discussion of the biggest stories shaping our week. Thanks for your time, guys. Let's get started with some big news earlier this week, the filing deadlines for all of the local elections and statewide elections.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Darren, when you go into filing day, it's not as it used to be. In the old days, candidates would line up weeks on end or have surrogates keep their position in line, and that would dictate who was going to be at the top of the ballot come the August primary. That's not there anymore. There's a lottery system. They come in, draw a number at random, and they get it picked that way. Still, nonetheless, there's always excitement on the first day. Always a lot of people show up. We had more than 300 people file for various offices, all judges, state representative, and Congress, statewide offices, all that sort of thing. And they were all lined up, Secretary of State. Steve Walsh and I covered it. Mainly I was going in to get the first person in line, which I have an interesting story about. And then
it's a fun story.
I think I might have heard a little bit about it.
And then just talk with Secretary of State Robin Carnahan about what the anticipation was. I left, and then Steve jumped in and got to talk with mainly the gubernatorial candidates, because it's such a big race now with Governor Blunt coming out. But also, there's just all kinds of people there. Every member of Congress that's running for re-election.
Oh, gosh, it was exciting.
They'll be there.
It's like opening day of baseball without the brushback pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really exciting. One of the good things that I noticed, too, I thought it was great. Robin Carnahan, who's the Secretary of State, was on hand to greet a lot of them. She was there all day. She filed herself, of course, to run for re-election. But she was there to greet some of the people who came in. Most of the people who came in, she was there saying, "Hello, how are you? I'm Rob." And a lot of people didn't know who she was. And they heard, "Oh, you're Robin Carnahan." Because a lot of people don't follow. They know the name, but they don't know what the person looks like. And then I thought what was really interesting, late in the afternoon, when Brent mentioned the gubernatorial candidates came along, Jay Nixon came along around 3 o'clock, 3:30, somewhere around there. Sarah Steelman came in around 4:15, something like that. When one of them, I think it was Jay Nixon, showed up, we were all waiting. There were a gaggle of reporters waiting for Jay Nixon to show up upstairs on the third floor. And what happened is some man got off the elevator, looked both ways, not knowing where to go, wanting to file for some office, just looking around. And Robin Carnahan was there and said, "Hi, welcome. I'm Robin Carnahan. Come on in. Let me show you where to go." And I thought, man, that's good service.
Secretary of State.
If she can greet you and help you out, that's good service.
Well, you have to remember, all of those candidates are also voters.
That's right. This is true, too. Yes.
You would think if you were running for statewide election that you would have heard or seen a picture of
Not necessarily.
Some of these people, they remember they're running for House seats. And this is a thing that fascinates. I mean,
and remember, too, anybody can file.
Anybody can do that. Anyone can file. Anybody who's a citizen of Missouri, a U.S. citizen living in Missouri, can file. And aside from Robin greeting people, what fascinated me is some of the, we'll call them lesser-known individuals. They might be known locally, but they're not names that we hear every day. Some of them are just housewives, office workers who decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try to run. I'm going to run for state rep.
Retired from the Coast Guard.
Yes, exactly. People who have done all kinds of things. So it's, you know, we jokingly say, you know, it's a democratic process and it's open to everybody. It really is.
Yeah. Anybody? Kinda
cool. I think that is kind of a, I mean, we kind of make light of different things and we do have a story to tell. But it is a democratic process. I mean, if you want to put your name on the line and say, "I'm going to run for this office," show up.
Well,
and on Tuesday, get in there, put your name down.
The advantage of
top
billing, that's the advantage of top billing is gone. It's an open lottery. So how many names might be on a typical ballot for a typical...
Oh, I don't think there'd be that many. There'd be a handful. I think the biggest examples we had, we did have a Democratic a primary for Congress when Dick Gephardt retired.
Well, you're going to have a big one.
10.
You're going to have a big one in northeast Missouri.
Well, we have the 9th district.
Yeah, the 9th district.
The 9th district.
A flock of people.
So we had a, we had 10 in the Democratic primary in St. Louis a few years ago. Mm-hmm. 10 on the Democrats.
Right now in the 9th district, which is Kenny Hulsoff's, we have, I think, 284 Democrats and 75. I'm joking. It's only 200. But there are quite a few Democrats and Republicans. That could be the winner of that contest could win with, conceivably, with 26-27% of the vote.
9th district includes Columbia and everything.
Up to Hannibal, part St. Charles County. Yeah. No,
it stretches clear down. It's a huge area. There's north of the Missouri River, basically, there are just two congressional districts.
Right, yeah. The 6th and the 9th.
Sam Graves and Kenny Hulsoff split North Missouri.
Because it's so sparsely populated.
And they both reside south of, very south in their own districts, right? Well,
Graves is from Tarkio.
Yeah, he's up in northwest, but Hulsoff is from
Columbia.
Yeah. But that's one of the things we look at. There were 317 people that filed on the first day. And that's a lot of folks to come in and want to express an interest in running for something. And that's I think, a tribute to the system. Like we said, anybody mm-hmm. can come in and file who wants to. And you know, being a state representative, that's a great thing to move up to from a city council, for example, or from a county office to move into the state representative slot. And a lot of people, if you look at their biographies in the state blue book, you find that they started out in local government, at the county or city level, became state representatives. And if you look at state senators, you'll find a lot of them started out the way Dave did in the movie. I started out as a city councilman.
Yeah, that's right.
So a lot of these folks, this is where grassroots government comes from, is when you see the people that come in to file for office like this. And if you ever want to really have some faith in the American system of government, you be over there on the first day of the primary and you see the kinds of folks who come in, because all kinds of folks come in. Yes. All the way from people who are very famous among Missouri politicians to the people who are totally obscure and just decided one day, I'm going to run for state rep.
Well, in the line at the Secretary of State's office, you'll see a member of Missouri's congressional delegation. It wasn't this time, but in the past, I've seen Ike Skelton, who is our senior.
Well, Sam Graves was there early on.
Ike Skelton, who is chairman of a very powerful committee and his senior status, all that, he'll be in there, and there'll be somebody running for rep or judge there with him.
All mixed in together.
Yeah. And they're just there.
This year, all 163 seats in the House are up. Half of the Senate is up. All of the statewide offices except state auditor are up. And all 9 congressmen are up. This is the first time in a long time we don't have a U.S. Senate race.
It is. We've had, because of the death of Mel Carnahan, we had 3 separate people hold the same seat.
In the space of 4 years.
Right. The span of 4 years, right. Yeah.
And so we don't have a Senate, but other than that.
That's a relief.
One less race to follow.
There has been a lot of upheaval with Governor Blunt announcing he's not. There's just a lot of opportunity, like you said. It's
absolutely
like opening day baseball.
It's upset the apple cart.
People that are into this stuff.
I think though a few weeks ago we were talking about how many might run for governor on the Republican side. Well, and there are going to be several there and lesser knowns, but the two now it's pretty well boiled down to 2 major candidates. Instead of, you've got Kenny Hulsoff and you got Sarah Steelman. And then Jay Nixon, who has been running for the seat, though, officially. I know Robin Carnahan did an interview with her, and she said, we've speculated and talked about who's going to and who's not going to. Today we begin to find out. Now, it doesn't close till March 25th.
March 25th is the final day.
But we begin to find out who actually is running.
Right. Now that we've had the filing, though, there's another ingredient that a lot of people aren't thinking of, and I'll bet a lot of television and radio stations and cable operations aren't thinking of them. I've been seeing for the last several months, and I'm sure everybody else has, public service announcements that various state office holders are making about promoting their particular cause or whatever. As of the day they filed, that now becomes an equal time issue under the FCC rulings. So they can continue to run those PSAs for Nixon and Steelman and whomever, but anybody who's running against them can go to the stations and say, hey, for every minute you run of what they're promoting, you got to let me come on, and I don't have to talk about what they're promoting. I can talk about me. I can promote me. So as long as these PSAs keep going, opposing candidates can come in and say, I want the same amount of time to talk about me. And so this is an adjustment that I imagine a lot of broadcasters probably aren't going to be aware of.
That's not something I had thought about.
And you do get some interesting stories from the first day of filing.
Share one. Give us one good story.
This is good. Go to
it. Well, I had it's tradition to always interview and do a feature on the person who actually is first in line, even though it's mainly ceremonial now. But you always do whoever is there first in line. Well, this year was Richard Klein of Gypsy, Missouri, which is in southeast Missouri. And he was in there, and so I followed him through the process and got through all that and then asked if I could talk with him. And first I said, I reached out my hand to shake his hand. And he said, "Don't shake my hand. I'm sick." And so the first question always is, "You were first in line. Why did you get here so early to be first in line?" You know, and usually you get some sort of answer. And I got an answer that I've never received before. He said, well, he was really, really sick and wanted to get it out of the way so he could go back to his family physician and get something for this nasty, horrible cold that had caused him to spit up blood. And he goes in and kind of tells me about his sickness, which kind of
in great detail
fascinated and nauseated me at the same time.
Now, do we have that on our webpage?
Yeah, we did. It's on the blog.
It's on the MissouriNet blog.
And in fact, we could probably have that right now.
Play it right now.
Yeah, play it.
Well,
John, the producer, is going
to
play.
Okay, here it is. Here it is.
Well, like I told you earlier, I'm sicker than a dog, and I drove 300 miles to get here. I want to get back home and go to my family physician and get this, whatever this cold is. It's awful. I'm spitting up blood and blowing blood out of my nose. And I understand this is a common thing.
We're sitting here laughing, but we really hope the guy is okay.
He's a very nice, wonderful gentleman.
I had never gotten
that's the first answer in the interview. And after I had to kind of compose myself, I've got to continue on because I'm thinking I've got to do an interview.
There's more to this story, right?
I have never heard somebody give me that answer.
The good news is that as far as I know, none of the people, including Brent Martin, has come down with anything since talking to this fellow, or in fact, even shaking his hand.
But he was
I don't think it was infectious. I think where he's from, he was probably a victim of a bite from a gypsy moth.
Very
funny. That's
yeah, bad. I'm sorry that's I invited terrible. You in here for this one.
But anyway, he is a candidate on the Republican side for governor, and he's running for. And that just shows, you know, Richard Klein of Gypsy and. We did an interview with him, and we did the feature.
He's running for governor.
For governor. After, I think, you know, he's,
best of luck.
I hope he gets well.
Years from now, his grandchildren will say, you know, Grandpa ran for governor once.
Yeah,
that would be.
And that's, why not?
That's kind of a neat thing to have the descendants tell people.
A feather in the hat there.
My grandfather ran for governor.
So anyway.
As they wipe their bloody noses.
Well, we hope Richard is better, but yeah. That was interesting. He went on and we did a somewhat regular interview after that.
Pretty hard though, wasn't it?
It was a little different.
Yes.
I think our intern also put some video on the MissouriNet blog with
went through Representative Bill Deacon of Jefferson City and it's on MissouriNet.com if you want to see, and he did a real good job of kind of giving you a snapshot of exactly what a candidate has to do to go through filing, and it's real good. He did a good job.
Well, that's excellent stuff. Thanks guys for your time.
Good talking to you.
For Bob, Brent, Steve, my name's Darren Jobe. You've been listening to the MissouriNet Press Pass. Have a great day.